finest restaurants in all of the Flint Hills. Book your tea times and see the full menu at ColbertHills.com.
And welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you with USD 384 Superintendent Brady Burton. Any questions, comments, concerns, give us a call, 75-537-1350. And Brady, we were talking about how school's out and kind of going into that transition, but now we transition to what's kind of been the norm here for Kansas Public Schools the last two or three summers, is looking at what's going to happen in Topeka, what's going to happen at the state level when it comes to funding.
Well, I'm sure people are getting pretty tired of hearing this, so we won't dwell on it long. But as of today, I know that there still is no tax bill that has gone through to fund our budget and school finance, and there's still no school finance bill. So, you know, our fiscal year ends June 30th. If there still isn't anything in place, technically, you know, we don't know what we're going to do yet. There's no money to fund. You know, a year ago when they were looking at this, they told us we couldn't open our office, we couldn't have summer waits, we couldn't have maintenance people working because we have no money to pay for any of that. So we'll see what happens. And I know the courts and our State Department's supposed to send us information on telling us what we can and can't do if the funding's not there to start July 1. So we'll see on that. And I believe, and Dave might know this, I know he's on top of everything, Brady, but I think maybe this is the 100th day of the legislature, which
it is,
which means starting tomorrow they're on overtime, and we as taxpayers are paying the unexpected bill each day they're there.
It's the state's flush with cash. That's good.
Isn't that correct, Dave? Today's the 100th?
It's the 100th day, and there seems to be no end in sight. It's, you know, and you know, they've got so many other things that kind of come up. You know, they're dealing with this concealed carry, but they've just, I just can't understand why they can't come to some kind of terms here on the budget situation. I know that's got to be frustrating for you and everybody that's in education.
Well, it is. I think earlier in the week, the Senate had, it looked like to me, a pretty good tax bill to increase taxes through income tax, and I believe it failed by 10 or 11 votes in the Senate. So I think they're back to square one. So we'll see what happens.
And that's a big part of it. And that's a big part of all this, is just how interconnected everything is. It's hard to craft a school budget plan when you don't have a tax plan crafted, and vice versa. Like, they're, from what I understand, a big thing that they're having an issue with is kind of this whole chicken or the egg sort of situation.
Right.
Which one do they tackle first? Because what you do here affects the other issue.
Well, and personally, to me, this is just my opinion, but I would think they would want to come up with a school finance. I'm not just saying that because I'm an educator, but I would think they would want to do that first to see what actually they need within that tax bill then to finance that. But
plus, between the two of them, one of them has a state Supreme Court order on it, the other
right.
one doesn't. You
exactly.
kind of think you would go with the one that has the Supreme
exactly.
Court order on it.
Exactly.
I do have a quick question for you, Brady.
Okay.
With the concealed carry laws that go into effect, an open carry, on July 1st, is there an impact on K through 12?
Dave, I believe, and I could be wrong on this, I don't know 100%, but I think K-12 is exempt from that. Just like I know at K-State, you can have concealed carry, but I know they've got, I've read and heard they've gotten exemptions for, like at Bill Snyder Family Stadium in Bramlage, mm-hmm. that you cannot. So as far as I know, and I'm, again, I'm not 100% on this, I think that we're exempt from that.
And I think that's right. That's kind of what I understand, too, is that this is kind of just looking at universities and hospitals, I think, is their focus when it comes to that
yeah,
issue.
I hadn't heard anything. Of course,
yeah.
you know, guns are banned on
sure.
as they are.
They are right now, currently.
They are right now, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't recall ever hearing about K-12.
No, and that's a good question. And again, I believe, and I could be wrong, that we are exempt from that.
During one of the breaks, Brady, you were talking to me a little bit about an update on CAPERS, and now there's some new movement there.
There is. And before we leave the budget, if you don't
sure.
mind,
oh,
I
yeah,
might
right,
just
right.
mention that
right.
I know President Trump has come out with his proposal for the federal budget, which cuts a lot. And I'm not going to get into that. The one that we're concerned about as educators, and that's what I'm here for, is that within his federal budget, it would reduce about $60 million to the state of Kansas in federal education aid, which would affect all school districts. So we'll see what happens there. But not only are we looking at the state level with what we're doing, now we're looking at having about $60 million total reduced if his budget goes through for that it would affect the state of Kansas. So anyway, we'll see what happens there.
And some of that federal funding for states when it comes to education, what are some of those things? Where do you see those impacts?
We have a lot of title programs, like Title I is our reading. We get money for Title I, they call reading and math, helping. We have a teacher that we have in our district through title funds to help with students that need additional help with reading and math. So you'll see help. There's different title programs that we get funding for. Of course, probably the big one that people probably hear the most about is lunch program money. We get federal funds for that. I know we get impact aid. Part of our district was taken by the federal government when they built Tuttle Creek. So we get what's called impact aid from the federal government for them taking part of our land. There's other districts. I think Manhattan gets impact aid, Riley County for some of the land taken for the fort. Junction gets a lot of federal impact aid. So different programs like that affects us.
And for some states that aren't having some of the school budget issues that Kansas is having, maybe that's something that could be weathered a little bit. But I'd have to imagine for Kansas, that's a tough one to swallow.
Well, it is.
And again, this is just a proposal that nothing's gone through yet.
No, and different districts will be affected differently by federal aid that comes into our state than is allocated out to the districts just due to some of the programs I have talked about already. So,
and some of the lunch ones that you talked about, is that for low-income students?
It is. It's for free and reduced. It would be families that are on lower income.
And do you know what percentage that would be for your school district as far as kids that take advantage of that?
We have, I think, around 24% of our students are on free lunches.
So that would definitely be a big impact.
Some are as high as, 48-50%, so some districts.
Odd that of all the things that you could be a little more efficient on, you'd like to think that keeping kids' bellies full would be one thing you wouldn't touch.
We'll see.
We will see. Let's talk a little bit about CAPERS.
Okay.
And that's another big piece of this whole puzzle when it comes to state funding.
Well, it is, because our retirement, not only for educators, but we're talking about educators, but CAPERS is Kansas Public Employment Retirement System. So there's a lot of other public employees like firemen, policemen, so on, that come under CAPERS also. But I think the largest pool are educators, and there's been some discrepancies between the different employees, and there's been a lot of discrepancies over the last 4, 5, 6 years on employees, educators that retire early under CAPERS and benefits and how it's handled and penalties and some of those type of things. And I think that's kind of what you're getting to.
And from what I understand, talking to some people a few years ago when people were really worried, this was before the governor kind of shored up CAPERS, when at a time when it was looking pretty dire straits for the program, a lot of people were concerned and maybe retired early and kind of compounded that problem a little bit and thus needing benefits immediately with the program that at the time wasn't very solvent.
Well, and that's exactly right. I think with CAPERS, educators can retire. They have a point system when you have 85 points. And what that is, your age, when your age and experience equal 85, you could retire under CAPERS. So for a lot of people, I think around 54 would be about the earliest. I know when I was 54, I had my 85 points. I'm quite a bit beyond that now. But what was happening, because what the state has been doing recently to help fund the state budget is the state is required under CAPERS to put in X amount of money every year from the state budget to help fund CAPERS. And then the other is funded through what districts and employees put in to fund it. And what the state has quit doing or for quite a few years now is putting in their borrowing from that by not putting in their allotment into CAPERS. So say they're supposed to put in $40 million a year, and that figures, I'm just throwing that out, that's not correct, but say they're supposed to put in $40 million a year for their part. They have not been doing that, and they've been taking that $40 million and putting it back into the state budget. And so I think that's what you're talking about, is then the money that goes into CAPERS has been going lower and lower. Then they invest that money and, of course, try to gain more money into the CAPERS fund through their investment. So they have not had as much money to invest due to that. And I think that's where some educators were starting to get a little worried, is that pool is getting less and less because of that. And they're starting to think, well, hey, you know, maybe they won't have enough to fund my retirement, so I'm going to go ahead and retire to make sure I'm in that pool. And, you know, so I'm at least into the system, and they can't take that away from me. So I think that's what you're talking about. I think it's pretty solid, though, Brady. I really don't have
right, and that was before that.
Yeah.
They kind of fixed things up.
I think we're okay on that. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know.
Right. But just as far as an example of when the state did shore that up,
right,
that was a lot of money that they had to put into that to get that where it needed to be. And that's why when you look at the school funding numbers, that's why the numbers look pretty good. And when you
right,
look at the total amount of money the state has been putting in education, if you just want to generalize education as the whole system, they have been increasing that funding every year, but a large percentage of that has been CAPERS and not necessarily the classroom.
Correct. And I think people know that the state has been kind of taking out of one pocket, the legislature, and putting into the other by not funding CAPERS. They've been taking money away from the highway budget and putting it into the general budget and some things like that to balance the budget and move forward with it. And that's what's got to stop. And they've got to find other sources of revenue so they don't have to steal from other funds to balance the budget. And I think that's what they're trying to do right now, and that's why it's so hard, why they're having a hard time, because to do that, they're going to have to raise taxes. And part of the faction in the legislature, the more conservative faction, do not want to raise taxes. The more moderate Republicans, along with the Democrats, want to raise taxes to balance the budget.
And a lot of those income taxes that they want to look at kind of deal with some of the tax cuts that Brownback made in 2012.
Yes.
Is kind of undoing some of that and kind of getting the state back to the way it used to be before that.
To give the small business owners a tax break. So,
right.
Yep.
All right. Let's go ahead and go to our second break. You were thinking you wouldn't be able to talk by yourself for 20 minutes.
We can do it.
Yeah, we got it. We'll be right back with more on In Focus.
Your KMAN Morning Show has been brought to you by your locally owned Merry Maids. A clean that measures up, relax, and